Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
We've been in a series called Encounters, and we've been looking at the people in the New Testament who encountered Jesus and how they were transformed and how they were changed forever. How their lives, how they received salvation. We looked at people's lives in the New Testament and see how they received wholeness and how they received love and how they received deliverance and how they received, oops, correction too. And how they received just how their lives were changed forever. So anytime we have an encounter with Jesus, things change. Can you say that? Anytime we encounter Jesus, everything changes. Now, sometimes we think of that as just our initial encounter with Jesus, our salvation moment, but we need subsequent daily encounters with Jesus to change some of the things we're living in right now. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles, let's raise them up. Okay, your tablets, your phones, however you read the scriptures. And let's pray. Let's bow our heads and let's just encounter Jesus right now. Jesus, today we want to encounter you. We want to choose to draw near to you. We want to have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. And we thank you for the written word, that we have such great access to the written word of God. And we thank you that your Spirit speaks to us and leads us. And today we commit our time to you. Help us to fix our eyes on you this day, Jesus. We need you desperately. We need to encounter you now. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're looking at the story of Lazarus, okay? So get this. I entitled this message, Lazarus. Okay, you like that? I thought of that myself. I was actually going to entitle this message, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, the disciples, the messenger, and how they got their lives transformed and received newness of life. But they said that wouldn't fit on the bulletin, so I scrapped it. Anyway, so this morning we're going to look at Lazarus. But first, I want to go back and I want to kind of recap some of the people we've talked to in this entire series and just kind of just take a real brief view of all the folks that we've talked about so far. So here was Nicodemus. That was the first person we talked to about that had an encounter with Jesus and how his life was transformed forever. Nicodemus was a religious leader, and most of us think, if you've ever read that story, that he was sneaking around and he went to see Jesus at night. Okay? But I really loved what Ben brought out, Pastor Ben, earlier when he spoke about that, about possibly Nicodemus was wanting to spend some time alone, aside from all of his religious friends, and ask Nicodemus some very pointed questions, some very honest questions about his doubts and his fears. And you know what? Jesus received him. So we learn that from scriptures, that Jesus received this religious leader, and he answered his very honest questions, and he took him in. And you know what? He does that with you and I. When we come aside and we spend time alone, when we go into the room and close our door, as the scriptures talks about, when we pray, when we go into our room, Matthew 6:6 talks about, close the door, pray to our Father who is unseen, and then our Father who sees what is done in secret will reward us. Nicodemus came to him at night to ask some very honest questions. And you know what? Jesus can handle your honest questions. You ever have really honest questions? You think, oh, I can't say that to the Lord. Yes, you can. Go alone and ask him. Jesus, Nicodemus' life was changed forever. Later, after this story of Nicodemus, he kind of stood up for Jesus in the midst of all of his religious buddies. And at the very end of the story, when Jesus has died, Nicodemus is there to help bury Jesus. So we know that Jesus entered his story and everything changed. Then we took a look at Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, sitting alongside the road. And he called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was blind and begging, and Jesus received him, and he called him near, and he healed him because of his faith. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever, even if you're a blind beggar today, I don't care how you see yourself. When you call out on the name of the Lord today, right now, he receives you. He receives you. Bartimaeus wanted to be healed. He wanted to see. And even when people tried to deter him, have you ever had some of your friends try to deter you from getting closer to Jesus? He cried out even more, Jesus, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus had an encounter with Jesus, and everything changed. And then there was the centurion. Do you remember the story of the centurion? He was kind of a military guy of some sort, and he understood authority because he said, I tell people to go and they go, I tell people to come and they come. He understood the authority of Christ. He understood it, and he had great faith. He was humble, the centurion, and yet he was bold. I love that about this story. He was humble and honoring of Jesus, and yet very bold. And he received healing for his son. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us approach the throne of God, the throne of grace, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The centurion approached Jesus with confidence because he understood who Jesus was. And when you and I understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that he even sympathizes with our weaknesses, that he died and rose from the grave, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father, then we can approach him with confidence. When we understand that, we can approach Jesus with confidence in faith. Do you feel like you can approach Jesus with confidence this morning, like the centurion did? Humble, but yet with confidence. Jesus is our high priest. We can approach the throne of grace. Did you know that Jesus is right now, this morning, standing on our behalf in heaven before God the Father and making a way for believers like you and I to have access to the Father? Right now, it says he intercedes for you. The centurion had an encounter with Jesus, and everything changed. And then there was the story of the Pharisee that we talked about and the woman of questionable reputation. Both of those encountered Jesus. The Pharisee was a self-righteous Pharisee, probably went to church all the time. Probably was a good citizen. Probably looked pretty good on the outside. And yet he doubted Jesus. He even looked down on Jesus. And of course, he looked down on the woman. And Jesus called him out and spoke to him about his pride. He had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus rearranged him a little bit. Have you ever had an encounter with Jesus, and he rearranged you a little bit? It's like, yeah, and sometimes those aren't quite so gentle, but they're good because God is good. And he knows that pride is not a good thing for your life. And then there's the woman, of course. She was truly repentant for all the things in her life, and she bore the fruit of repentance. And she received forgiveness, and she received eternal life, and she was changed forever. Forever. When we encounter Jesus in a genuine way, we will be changed. We will. And then last week, one of my favorites is Zacchaeus. I like him because he was a thief. And I'll tell that story some other day. He was a tax collector. He was a legal thief. He was hated. That was a great message last week, by the way, Tom. When he encountered Jesus, everything changed. He was repentant. He made restitution with everyone that he had cheated. That's awesome. And Jesus didn't even ask him to do it. He just knew that was the right thing to do. He turned from his ways. He turned to Jesus. When he said, I'm going to pay back everybody, then Jesus just said, today salvation has come to this house. Today he received salvation. And today's message is about Lazarus. And again, I really did want to entitle this message, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Thomas, the disciples, and all the messengers, and because there's all these people in this story. There's all these real people like you and I. Sometimes we read scriptures and we think, oh, this is about some story, but it's not about real people. These were real people like you and I that walked in time and history. They were just like us. All these people in this story of Lazarus who encountered Jesus. So let's jump into the book of John, chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, turn to that. And we're going to start at the end of the story, and then we're going to work back through it, if you don't mind. John 11, let's go clear to the end of the story. 43 and 44 are the final verses that I'm going to talk about today, okay? So let me tell you what's going on. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Say 4 days.
4 days.
So we know the decay has already been setting in, 4 days. The stink was happening, okay? And Jesus shows up with the story. And he tells the disciples, hey, roll the stone away from the cave where he was buried. And then in verse 43, he cried out in a loud voice. And he says, Lazarus, come out. And verse 44, it says, and he who died came out of the grave, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face were wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, loose him. He said this to the disciples, loose him and let him go. So Jesus raises this man from the dead, and then he tells the disciples, take off those grave clothes and loose him. So then go back to verse 1 of chapter 11, John. John the disciple gives us a very detailed account of this story of Lazarus. He later became known as John the Evangelist, actually. And so I want to go back. I want to work through this text. And I want you to look at the lives that were transformed when they encountered Jesus. I want you to look at them. I want you to allow the text. I want you to allow the text to mentor you. I want you to put yourself in this story, okay? And I want you to listen this morning, not just with your ears, but I want you to listen with your heart to the Spirit of God, to what He might be saying to you about one of these people's stories that might mentor you, that might draw you, that might change something in your life forever, okay? I want you to encounter the text. I want you to encounter Jesus as we work through this text, okay? Verse 1. Let's post verse 1 and 2 of John 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Do you remember that story? This is Lazarus' sister. Okay? Mary has her own encounter with Jesus. Mary has her own story in this story of Lazarus. This is Mary that everyone knows is a sinful woman in the whole city. They know it. But this selfless display of extravagant worship, the perfume on his feet, just changes how we look about, how we think of Mary, even to this day. To this day, when you and I think of Mary, we think of the lady who just poured out this extravagant worship on Jesus. Jesus was in Bethany at the time of this story, okay? Jesus was in Bethany when Mary poured oil on his feet, okay? And he was reclining at the house of Simon the leper. Now, there's a whole nother story. You don't go to leper's house for lunch, okay? In this country, we'd probably call in the environmentalists and put a tent over your house and all kinds of fans, and you wouldn't get to go there. But here's Simon the leper. He must have been healed, or all these people would not be coming to the house. So Simon has his own encounter with Jesus, and his life also has been changed forever. When this woman learned that Jesus had brought that Jesus was there, she brought this jar of alabaster perfume, knelt behind him, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. This is in Luke chapter 7, verse 37. Okay, look up here a second. Can you imagine the depth of this woman's tears being enough to clean Jesus' feet? And can you imagine the gratitude that moved her to this bold display of devotion and adoration? Mary, she'd heard him teach. She'd seen his miracles. She'd been delivered from her old way of life. This is Mary, the sister of Lazarus. She loved him because he first loved her. Amen. And this morning, as we work through this text, I want you to put yourself in this text. I want you to be mentored by this scripture. I want you to say, oh, that's me. Oh, I relate to that. And then there's Martha, her sister. She's also in this story. Martha has her own little story. She has a reputation for being overly busy, cooking and cleaning and doing all this stuff, not taking time to care for her own soul. Do you know anybody like that? That is so dang busy, they don't have time to care for their own soul. They don't have time to come away a few minutes every day and just spend time in Jesus, sitting at his feet and listening. Martha has her own story. The sister of Lazarus. She encountered Jesus and everything changed in her life as well. Because from that day on, she sat at Jesus' feet and listened. She knew the importance of it. And she spoke out in faith. You see her in other parts of Scripture just speaking out of faith. And these were the two sisters in the story, the two sisters of Lazarus. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And he heard this and he came. Let's look at John 11, 6 through 8. I want to kind of unpack this portion of Scripture as well. So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. And then he said to the disciples, let's go back. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews were there and they tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? So let's unpack that right there. Here they are. They're encountering Jesus in kind of a teaching. I'm watching to see what he does, how he does it, so that because I want to walk in his ways, just like you and I. We look at Jesus and we encounter in an instructional way. What is he doing here? Have you ever brought a message to Jesus that was urgent and it seemed like he delayed the answer? Lazarus is dying. Okay. And he goes there 2 days later. Can you relate to that? You know what? Jesus' timing is always perfect. We see later in the story where it actually was. It was perfect timing. And then here's the disciples who said, are you crazy? Have you ever had the Lord ask you to do something that was seemed dangerous, and yet you knew it was the Lord? Have you ever had the Lord ask you to do something hard, and yet you knew it was the Lord? And not only is his timing perfect, but his ways are perfect. Has the Lord ever asked you to forgive something who absolutely did not deserve your forgiveness? Now, there's a hard one. You know, God asks us to do crazy things sometimes. You're going to go back to Judea? They tried to kill us last time we were there. Then let's post John 11:16. This is all part of the story. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let's go with Jesus and we'll die with him. This is doubting Thomas, ready to lay down his life. You don't think he had an encounter with Jesus? He's ready to lay down his life for the Lord. I don't know how he got the title. I do know how he got the title of Doubting Thomas. But you know what? We could all be called doubt. I could be called Doubting Bob. I've had my doubts, but you know what? I don't want that label anymore. Will I still have doubts in my future? Probably. But you know what? If I encounter Jesus on a regular basis, it's going to change everything in my life. And it changed Thomas when he encountered Jesus as well. He was ready to lay down his life at that point. Okay, verse 17. On the arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Martha comes, said, if you'd just been here, my brother would not have died. Again, Jesus' timing is always perfect. So then they sent for Mary. Oh, back up to verse 22. This is one of Martha's pronouncements of faith. She says this very boldly. I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Here's Martha, busy little Martha, who has no time to sit at the feet of Jesus, transformed and changed and now speaking out in faith. I know, Jesus, whatever you ask the Father, he'll do that. So then Mary comes. And she's weeping and crying and says the very same thing. So Jesus said, well, where have you laid him? And then Jesus goes with them to the grave. And Mary is weeping. And Jesus weeps with her. Okay, this is an interesting part of the story. Because 10 minutes later, he raises her from the dead. He raises Lazarus from the dead. And yet now he's weeping with Mary. He's compassionate towards her. And he's compassionate towards you. Because we live this side of eternity. We're living in eternity, but we're on this side of heaven. And you know what? Sometimes things don't make sense in our mind. And yet, God understands. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. He sympathizes with us living on this side. And of course, he shows his emotion. Did you know that Jesus has emotion? Did you know that God has emotion? Did you know that God created you and I with emotion? Did you know that God created you and I in his likeness? God gets angry. There's tons of scripture that support the fact that God has emotion. Don't ever buy the lie that says God is unemotional. I'm sorry to say this, but unemotional Christians bug me. God created our emotion. God created our emotion. Did you know that God gets jealous? He gets jealous. He gets jealous when you and I love the things of this world more than we love him. He gets angry. He's passionate. We need, of course, I don't need to say this, but we need the Holy Spirit to govern our emotions, right? But not kill them. Sometimes we think of emotion as people that are just kind of like flipping out about every little thing. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being fully alive and having your heart alive and being passionate about life and being passionate about God. So we learn that from the text, even when Jesus says Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the whole Bible. Two words. If you want to start with Bible memorization, start right there. Jesus wept. There you got it. I memorized a verse today. Okay. So then they take away the stone. He says, Lazarus, come out. I think this is an interesting point here. Jesus gives this man new life. He raises him from the dead. And then he asks the disciples to unwrap the death clothes. Okay, get this point. Get this point. Jesus gives this man new life. And then he asks the disciples to take off those things that are residue of his death. They stink. Okay? He asked the disciples to unwrap him from the things that keep him in bondage. Okay? And you and I, when we've received Christ, we were buried with him through baptism, we were raised to newness of life, and then Jesus asked the body of Christ to come around you and me, and we live in close proximity enough to say, here, take that off. Take off that attitude. That's inconsistent with the new you, with the new you. Here, take that off. Stop talking about yourself that way. Here, take off this stuff that's preventing you from walking in the fullness and the freedom of God. He asks you and I to do that with new believers and with each other. The body of Christ. Jesus invites you and I to participate in other people's freedom, to participate in taking other people out of bondage. Okay? It's kind of a side point, but I think it's a very important one. Most of the times after we've received new life, we're still wrapped in the residue of death. We still have bondages in our life. We've been pronounced forgiven. Did you know once you're pronounced forgiven, it's a pronouncement from heaven. You now are the righteousness of God in Christ. Yeah, but I've got all this stuff. Yeah, but you're still the righteousness of God in Christ. And as we go, and as we walk with each other, and we bump shoulders with the body of Christ, then he calls us to unwrap those people from the stuff that's holding them back. Amen. So, I hope you encountered Jesus in one of those stories for you this morning, okay? I'm going to invite the worship team actually back up a little early. I'm going to invite you to stand. I want you to just really think about this one, just a few points that I really want you to go home with, is that every time you have a genuine encounter with God, you will be changed forever. Sometimes we think of that as being our initial salvation thing, where we're just like, oh, I accepted Christ. Yes, that's paramount. But you know, wherever you're at today, whatever's going on in your family, whatever's going on at work, whatever's going on in your health, whatever's going on in your life, or even if you're celebrating. You know, we don't know how to celebrate in this country. We just flip out sometimes when we're celebrating. We need to have an encounter with Jesus to understand how to celebrate in a proper way, in a godly way. But if we're suffering, or if we're doing this, or if we're doing that, we need an encounter with Jesus daily, daily. In the Old Testament, there's a story about manna. How many are you familiar with that story? Okay, so God feeds the people of God this bread from heaven. And he says, only take one day's worth. Okay, otherwise you get sick. So in the New Testament, Jesus is called the bread of life. And we need the bread of life every day. We need an encounter with Jesus daily. Whatever you're going through, whatever your thought life, whatever is going on in your life, the answer is you need to get along with Jesus and have an encounter, and everything will change. Sometimes your circumstances will change, sometimes they won't. But you know what? Everything else is going to change. When we understand that we live in eternity, that someday and that someday soon, we're going to step over into the next life. We're going to just fall asleep here and we're going to wake up in heaven. And then we're going to look back and we say, oh, gee, I wish I'd have known that. Well, you do know it. And live like it. Live like you live in eternity. And when we forget that, we need to have an encounter with Jesus, to have him kind of rearrange our lives. Amen? Amen. Yes. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, we need you this day as much as we ever have. And we invite you, God, into our situation. We invite you into our lives. We invite you into our thoughts. We invite you into our pursuits. We invite you into our ambitions. And we ask Jesus that you would just change. Change the way we see things. Change our circumstances if necessary, God. We thank you for that. We ask your blessing on all these people in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've got some action steps. They were so long that they had to put it on 2 pages. I couldn't figure out how to shorten them up. Anyway, bring to remembrance a time when you encountered Jesus. Bring to remembrance. Did you know it's good to remember? Did you know it's good to remember? One of the biggest problems that the Israelites had in the Old Testament is they always forgot what God had done in their lives. Don't forget. Remember one time when you encountered Jesus and it changed your life forever. Number one, start there. Think of an area of your life now that needs a fresh encounter. 2. 3, think of someone in your life that needs your help to unwrap the things that bind them. And 4, just draw near to the Lord and let him lead you in those areas. Amen. I love you. Have a great week.